fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. We're happy to have you aboard this weird, wacky Monday. It's the final week of our toy drive to benefit Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. I incorrectly did correct math. 64 points scored. Yesterday, I donated $64 to the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Not saying that I'm great. I'm just saying I want you to match that if you can. Or match just the Packers score, 34 points. 36, I screwed up again. Or match just how many field goals Mason Crosby missed so far this season. That's a solid $9. Whatever you can do. 1250amthefan.com, 1250amthefan.com. It's a good week. Packers win, victory Monday. You know, this job has had good days. It's had tough days. And I feel for some of those kids in the Oklahoma locker room, because when you left us, Ryan, it's like the same fly-by-night way that Lincoln Riley left OU to go to USC. It happened so quickly. Ryan Horvath. But it's good to have you back. How are you?
Yeah, like Lincoln Riley, I am also a genius. But unlike Lincoln Riley, I don't think that I took the easy way out. I think Lincoln Riley is both a genius and a little bit of a coward, because if you look at it like this, like, he goes to USC. He's already recruiting kids in California. He has two top recruits that already decommitted yesterday to Oklahoma. He'll probably steal all those recruits. So now if you rebuild USC, you know, like Pete Carroll, like, you know, I hate Pete Carroll. I hate giving Pete Carroll any praise whatsoever. But if you rebuild that program and do what guys like Lane Kiffin can't do, you're a legend in California. I think he's a little bit of a coward because he does avoid the SEC. I don't. You could say that the SEC has two good teams, Georgia and Alabama, but you know what I'm saying? He didn't want any part of the SEC. So now he goes to the Pac-12. That's huge for the Pac-12. You know, maybe that actually saves that conference. Like, you look at that conference title game coming up this weekend. Oregon and Utah, are you excited for that one, where neither team really has a shot at getting into the college football playoffs? So
you know, I won't be watching with Brock Lesnar returning to SmackDown that night on Friday.
Oh, I already bet on Oregon, so I'll be watching. I hammered Utah in the first one. I just have this weird feeling they're 3-point dogs. I think Oregon gets them. But all that being said, I am excited for next college football season already to watch what he could do at USC. And, I'm excited for this weekend for the conference championship games. I can't believe that I'm getting Alabama as a touchdown underdog. Can you? I mean, Georgia's the right side. I'm crazy for taking Alabama, but you're giving me Nick Saban as a 7-point underdog. Excited. But I know you didn't have me on to talk college football, so you want to talk some WWE SmackDown?
Yeah, so Sami Zayn's probably going to get screwed. Oh, actually, we'll talk about that later. LOL. Okay. Aha, we're so funny. The Packer game yesterday, I did not, and I'm not trying to be like I'm the best, which I am, but not right now. I did not think they were ever going to lose that game. Just the Rams, to me, didn't have enough. They didn't have enough.
Didn't you pick the Rams?
Okay, first of all, once the game started is what I'm saying.
Oh, my bad.
Okay. I did pick the Rams. I did pick the Rams.
I picked the Packers.
Yeah, Toby picked the Packers.
I picked the Rams, I think, on the show, and then yesterday threw $1,200 on the Packers because I was like, what am I? You know, what kind of fan am I? No, really, the more I thought about it all week long, I was like, you know what? We're overhyping the Rams a little bit. Like, okay, they got the names on the defensive side of the ball. That's not last year's defense.
Yeah, we got Yosh Nijman, baby.
Dude, I love Yosh, though. I told you, did I not say that, though? Toby, you can vouch for that. Pull the tape if you need to. I said, you know what's the story of this game is probably going to be? We're going to be concerned about the offensive line. I'm going to talk about the mismatch of Aaron Donald and Von Miller when you have guys like Yosh on the offensive line, and they're going to ball out, and we're going to forget Aaron Donald's even on the field. And that's what happened yesterday. I forgot Aaron Donald was on the field until he was choke-slamming guys and trying to put people in the mandible claw. Once again, what a sore loser he is. Great player, one of the greatest football players, if not the greatest, like playing the game today. never shows up against Green Bay, which, again, man, I'm telling you, I don't know that he's ever going to want to be a head coach. I don't know what his deal is, but Adam Stenovich is one of the best coaches in the NFL. I love Matt LaFleur. He deserves all the praise. If Matt LaFleur doesn't win Coach of the Year this year, it's crazy. I watched against Stefanski last night, and I was actually I hyped up Kevin Stefanski. I thought he was really good his first year in Cleveland. But last night, dude, they have, like, Jarvis Landry, like, taking direct snaps where he's, like, rolling right and taking hits from his blind side. He's fumbling. Baker stinks. Stefanski stinks. LaFleur should be Coach of the Year. It's between Matt LaFleur and Bill Belichick, and I think LaFleur deserves one, right? The last 3 years, why hasn't he won one? Because he has Aaron Rodgers? Well, okay, everybody was saying year one, you know, Rodgers was washed. They had to draft Jordan Love. So I don't want to hear that excuse for a 13-3 season. He deserves Coach of the Year. But you look at the offensive line yesterday. I mean, they game planned perfectly. Like, there's a couple of really good examples. Like, if you're into the nerdy film stuff where, like, they'd call, like, a lot of their screen. Like they would locate, obviously, where Aaron Donald was on the field, and they would, like, you know, call out plays and go the opposite way. Just, like, typical stuff. But I don't know. I thought the offensive line did a great job yesterday. I thought really everybody played great yesterday. Like, other than Mason Crosby, who would you complain about from yesterday?
God, that's a good question. Probably nobody.
I mean, the punter, we have the best punter in the league who we stole from the Rams.
Sullivan got burned, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's not good, though. Like, but he tries, and I root for the guy because he does give effort. He's not a good football player. Like, he's out there because of injury. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, I mean, that's a little frustrating, like, that guy's even on the roster. Like, yeah, I'm rooting for him. But he's out there because Jair's injured. Jair's the best corner in the league. And he's out there because Kevin King can't stay healthy. I don't know at this point if, like, Kevin King's either even hurt. You know what I mean? I think there's, like, some games maybe where they're like, I'm kidding. I mean, I don't want to be a hot take artist. But come on. Like, he's injured every week. And we're like, wait, when did King get hurt? Like, we saw the one time this year, the game where he just had a rough game. He took a cleat to the chest, and that was a rough go for him. But, like, every week he's just pops up on the injury report. Hell, before the NFC title game, I was like, where did the back injury come from? So, you know, with him, I feel like there might be some weeks where they just look at certain matchups and they're like, yeah, you can't be on the field against the Rams. I mean, wouldn't that seem like a prime day where they'd be, like, looking at Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr. and my guy Van Jefferson, who I love. God, I wish we had him in the slot. But it would probably be a day where you'd look at everything and you'd be like, you know what, Kevin, just, bud, get healthy. Heal up that back, that shoulder. Heal up that ego a little bit.
But I'm not hurt. And then they take a chair to his back and they say, are you sure about that, Kevin?
Dude, God bless Kevin King. He is, I'll grade him a C+ player, maybe a C- player, maybe, you know, some weeks a borderline DF player. But he has the confidence of an A+ player. Like, when he's out there, he thinks he's Jair, or, you know, he thinks he's Jalen Ramsey. And the last meatball thing I'll say, so Aaron Donald got punked again yesterday. Packers have the best just coaching staff all around. LaFleur should be Coach of the Year. And also, the last meatball thing I'll say is, I never want to hear that Jalen Ramsey's the best defensive back in the league ever again. All right, he's clearly afraid of Devontae Adams. Now, I say that, like, half jokingly, because at least he'll match up against Devontae, but Devontae gets the better of him. And a lot of that does come from scheme. But still, like, you know, every week that Jair's actually healthy and you look at these receivers, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson. Like, Justin Jefferson, everybody was talking about that before the Minnesota game. Like, you look at his career numbers, though, and he never really shows up against Green Bay. Well, yeah, that's because whoever starts cooking, Jair takes him out of the equation. That's not even just me being a homer. I think, you know, once he comes back, he's the best defensive back in the league. Ramsey's great, but, I mean, Jair literally just – goes on an island and shuts people down. I like watching the Rams lose. I was getting fired up in the fourth quarter, not even just because Aaron Donald once again was a sore loser and was choking people. They're just a really fun team to beat. I like McVay. I kind of do root for Stafford because, like, he's a lovable loser. Now, what is he, 9-60 against teams with a winning record? I mean, you know, he can throw the deep ball, but he still makes, like, really bad decisions. So I don't know that I'm really sold on the Rams. I think beating them yesterday made me feel really good. I watched Tampa Bay, Indianapolis. That was probably, you know, the game of the day. And Tampa Bay still scares me, but if there's no excuse this year not to beat Tampa Bay. Their secondary is trash. You know, they had to call Richard Sherman up, and their slot corners are terrible. This is where I do, like, MVS will have to have a big game, but I wish we had, like, a Van Jefferson-type dude. But there's, as good as Tampa Bay is, there's no excuse not to beat them this year because they're vulnerable in the secondary. Like, you saw it yesterday. Carson Wentz was picking them apart.
Yeah, and I think it's funny, Horvat, because me, you, and Bart aren't exactly the smartest football guys, but I feel like sometimes we're smarter than defensive coordinators. What's the defensive coordinator for the Rams doing yesterday? I get you don't want to change the whole defense, but why would you not have Jalen Ramsey on Devontae all game? I get he plays this star position, and it gets him more involved in all these different plays in the run game, but sometimes you just got to be smarter than that. I mean, come on. It's not like if the Packers are facing Cooper Kupp or they're facing a top receiver, they're not going to be stupid and say, well, you know, let's leave Jair on the other side of the field so that way he can stop the number three receiver that's not getting the ball anyways. What are they doing with that? Why do football coaches sometimes just try to be the smartest guy in the room? And Jalen Ramsey should have been covering Devontae all game long, and yet they weren't doing it. And it's not like Devontae, it's funny because he goes for 8 and over 100, and it doesn't feel like he really dominated the game, but he did in a sense, and they didn't put Ramsey on him really at all.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I don't get. I thought the star position thing, I thought that was a Joe Barry thing, but exactly. Like, and I get it, and especially like to start the game, but I don't know. Like, I'd want to set the tone right in the first quarter. I do think that sometimes coordinators and coaches just like get too smart for their own good. Take McVay yesterday, man. Like, what the hell was he doing at the end of the game? Like, Sean McVay can tell you the exact play call from, what, 2018 on Christmas Day, you know, in a 34-30 loss. He could tell you what he called on second down. But yesterday, he's just letting that clock drain, and then all of a sudden sends out the field goal unit. Like, what was he doing? And then, like, they call the third and one, like, they run the ball, and they just walk up to the line of scrimmage. So I thought that was another case yesterday of, like, as great as McVay is, I feel like some of these coaches, and I think, Bart, you've said this, I think some of these coaches need, like, a clock manager, just a guy that is there just to manage the clock.
Yeah, hey, if you there should be a Madden tournament every year, and the top 32 Madden players should go and be clock management guys for all these 32 teams, because they get confused.
But, right, that's what I'm saying. Well, and they're trying to do so much. Like, look at McVay, for example.
No,
like
I'm joking about Madden, but not really. It wouldn't be me because I still only won one game. I suck.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm hoping that, like, every once in a while the computer could beat me to make it even around here. But like, that's the thing, like, with, like, guys like McVay and LaFleur is they're all, like, that. What I love about them and Kyle Shanahan, they're calling their own plays. You know what I mean? They're picking out their personnel for these packages. Yeah, you have your coordinators who should be helping out with that. And like Hackett is, and, you know, he's doing his thing. But at the same time, like, you know, they're in charge of everything. That's why, like, sometimes I think they get lost with the clock. And I'm not making excuses for these guys, but have somebody down there. And then, like, good point from Toby, because I don't really get why you wouldn't just have somebody like Jalen Ramsey shut down Devontae. Now, in some certain situations, I get it with, like, some defenses, right? But in this case, I mean, who else really, and, like, we love these guys. Like, you know, Twitter will kill me if I say Alan Lazard needs to learn how to catch a football, you know, because he could block. But, like, who scares you on Green Bay off? Okay, A.J. Dillon, because he's a monster. Aaron Jones is playing 40% right now. Who scares you, you know, other than Devontae? Like, why wouldn't
Jalen
Ramsey
want that
matchup?
Well, we had a big fourth down conversion to Josiah DeGuara that you and I think there's a feeling that we hated the 2020 draft. If you go back and listen to that draft show that we did on that Friday night, we were loving DeGuara. We were loving A.J. Dillon. We've never said a bad thing about that draft class.
Oh, I hated DeGuara.
Oh, okay. You don't want to play with it? Okay. Hey, but the reason I didn't
like the Jordan Love pick, but I've always defended the A.J. Dillon pick. I said, why in the second round? And I guess that – and I was also –
I'm just trying to do revisionist history because, you know, these guys are playing well now.
People like to go back and look out tweets. So last night I said, I'll play this game because somebody was going to go and look at the A.J. Dillon tweet. My tweets were from like 2017 when he was at BC. I'm the biggest A.J. Dillon fan ever. Like, it's funny because me and my buddy Kaloji, like, we text back and forth all the time and like have been because he's just like the typical, like, he's like the dude that, like, growing up like in the Midwest, like, you know, that you would play football with, like, where he could like catch dude, he could catch balls. Like, we didn't know that out of the backfield at BC. That was the knock on him. But they didn't throw the ball when he was there. But he's the kind of guy that, like, he would just run guys over, and you could give him 30 carries. Like, I always loved him as a football player. But I was like, I kind of wanted to pay Aaron Jones, you know, and I kind of like Jamal. Like, I mean, Jamal had a really good year last year. Jamal's one of the best pass protection, like, pass blocking running backs. And how did you not love him? So that was my only thing. I was like, I kind of like our guys. So I don't really want to get destroyed on the A.J. Dillon thing. Now, if Jordan Love wins 4 Super Bowls, you could come at me all day. If he ends up being better than Rodgers. In fact, that's what it'll take for anybody to criticize me. Because my whole point with the Love pick was that if Rodgers was 45 years old, I would like it. Yeah, hell yeah. Let's go with the project and let's see what we got in the kid. You know, it worked out for the Chiefs with Mahomes. You know, it worked out with some of these other teams. My whole thing was, Rodgers just signed a 4-year deal, and we just went 13-3. Like, let's get some Deebo Samuel-type guys to make him look better. And they drafted Jordan Love. I'm not going to, like, whatever. I mean, Goot made some really good moves this offseason. I mean, Rodgers, you know, made a really good move bringing Cobb back. Now, 31-year-old Randall Cobb should never return a punt ever again. Why do we continue to do this? Here's what I don't get about the Packers. Like, the 1 year they find a punt returner, it's Trevor Davis. He stinks. I don't even know that he was a punt returner. He goes to an airport. He yells bomb. I think we've told that story on the station 45 times. You know, the FBI detains him or whatever goes on. He ends up stinking. Why don't they ever just, like, employ a punt or kick returner? You know, like, you saw Margie.
Well, they're Rodgers trying to do that with Rodgers. He's not that good.
No, but okay, so here's the thing. So then last year and the year before, you call up 45-year-old Tremont, which, God bless his soul, I love Tremont. And if you need a nickel corner, you know, call up Tremont. And I'm fine with him, like, on third down, you know, playing some defensive snaps. Dude, Tremont didn't want to be out there returning punts. Cobb doesn't want to return punts. There's got to be one guy on that practice squad, like one guy that, like, that's what he does. You know, like, find your Desmond Howard. I don't know. I get that now there's dudes that, like, you know, do everything. There's not, like, Devin Hester.
Yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, just go
you
find know, the you, only – find another version of the only guy to ever win a special team Super Bowl MVP award.
No. No, I'm saying find a guy that literally could call fair catch the ball, and put you in good field position. That's what I'm saying. We don't need 100-yard kick returns, anything like that. They literally just need a guy that could just catch the ball, a guy that could just return the ball to the 30-yard line to set us up in decent field position. Randall Cobb's not it.
Okay, but so I knew they were going to win this game yesterday because even though you love Van Jefferson, we've seen this game before, and I was watching the game with my mother-in-law, and she's getting nervous, and, you know, She watches every game like it's the Super Bowl.
Me too. I could actually relate to your mother-in-law. Like, yesterday actually wasn't even that fun.
I told her, I mean, they're up 11. I said, this game's over. There's a quarter left. She says, how do you know? I said, I just know. This game was over because I've seen teams come back on the Packers before. And the way they come back is they make two-point conversions. That happened. But they also, they have these wide receivers and tight ends that just are always open. The Packers can't cover anybody. It's 15-yard chunk plays. And then it's finally 3rd and 15, and they get 17 yards. With Stafford, and they weren't utilizing Kupp as much as they should have, even though he had 7 catches. Beckham was not in rhythm with Stafford. Van Jefferson's getting helmets thrown at his skull, or balls thrown at his skull. They just did not have the look of a team that could come back from 11 yesterday. So I didn't worry about that. I think the Packers' defense, you know, you give up 28 points, but you can give up 28 points and still play well. They did that against the Niners earlier this season, too. I didn't fear it, man. Maybe it's Stafford. Maybe it's McVay who, yeah, he's a good coach, but also when he's down at halftime, he can't figure it out. And I don't know what that clock management was that you were talking about earlier. It was really weird. I just never thought that the Rams, you know, for a team like that to lose 3 in a row, they're going all in. They can't win a football game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and Stafford, I mean, there was, like, rumors all week, like, and that's why I kept going back and forth whether I was going to take the Rams, which I would never do, or, like, you know, whether I wanted to bet on the Packers, though, like, bet a bunch of money on them. And the reports were that Matthew Stafford might not even play in this game. And then I was hearing that, like, I mean, and you probably heard this, too. Everybody probably heard it. But, I, you know, with the holidays, I wasn't listening to anything. But, like, he couldn't even take snaps under center. You know what I mean? Like, so everything was going to have to be ran out of shotgun. Like, that's how bad this.
You just take him under. Just take him under guard, like Kirk Cousins.
No, seriously though, we lost to that guy last week, man. He is such, like, have you ever? Kirk Cousins is such a weird quarterback because he's good. Like, let's be honest. He's got something, but then he's not good. Like, isn't that the perfect way to break down Kirk Cousins? Like, if you looked at just numbers, statistics, you'd be like, and let's say you've never seen Kirk Cousins, right? Like, let's say, like, little Bart, you're showing him trading cards, and he's like, hey, Daddy, like, who are the Packers beating up on, you know, during this era of the Vikings? And you're like, Kirk Cousins. And he looks at the back of that trading card, and he sees the career with Washington all the way down to his career with Minnesota. You'd be like, this guy had to be really good, right? Like, man, we beat up on him. He looked pretty awesome. Like, if you look at the stats. And you'd be like, oh, no, little Bart, because Kirk here padded all the stats in the third and fourth quarter usually when the team was down three scores. Or Kirk, during the noon slate of games, or 1 p.m. slate of games for me now on the ET zone, Kirk, 1 p.m. Kirk is like Troy Aikman, right? Primetime or 325 Kirk is like the older version of Donovan McNabb, like when he was getting like DUIs every other season. Oh, you know geez. What I mean? Like nothing good. Like, yeah, not like the Donovan McNabb that just like got a little nervous before the Super Bowl and threw up all over the place, like Willie Beeman and your guy, Adrian Hauser. But that's kind of like, what I see with that.
I remember
it doesn't make sense.
I remember watching a Washington game with Kirk Cousins where it was right before the half. They moved the ball down the field. They didn't have a timeout. They got it down to like the 15 or whatever with 5 seconds left. They were going to have time to get up there and spike it, kick a field goal. Kirk Cousins gets up there, gets a snap, takes a knee. And
right.
The clock runs out.
And that's the thing, like the brain farts, dude. But does he not throw one of the, not like Aaron Rodgers? Matthew Stafford, actually, when he's right, throws a really pretty deep ball. But does Kirk Cousins not throw a very accurate, nice ball? Like when he's on, he does. I mean, he really does. But he's an embarrassment. And that was the funniest thing I've ever seen, because then they have to burn the timeout. I bet against the Vikings, so it was nice. I knew that was a classic letdown spot. The Vikings won their Super Bowl the week before. You know what I mean? And then the next week, they just collapse. That's what I find so hilarious about that fan base. They talk all this trash. You know, they go on their radio shows and they make these predictions. They make up their fake stories about the coaching staff, you know, telling the radio hosts that they're a joke or whatever. Like, that never happened. That never happened to Paul Allen. I'll say that right now.
No, Paul Allen. It's time for Paul Allen to retire.
LaFleur would fire. If somebody did that, you know how embarrassed? Like, that is not LaFleur. You could tell. I could see that being like maybe like a Shanahan or like McVay kind of guy, like on their staff. That's not LaFleur. If somebody did that to a radio host, like he wouldn't make them walk home. So I'm not buying that story at all. I mean, LaFleur's a pretty classy guy.
There's some people that want to talk, so let's let them talk. Good. That's what we do here.
Sorry, I just, you know, I wanted to talk some Wisconsin
sports. I want to talk Wisconsin sports with you too. Timmy is in Dallas. Hey, Timmy. Mm.
How you doing, Bart?
Good. What's up?
The ceiling.
Yeah, stop doing that joke. It's terrible.
Seriously, you know, the Packers win was great. And the offensive line played great in pass protection, but not so much against the run. Newman stinks. A.J. Dillon is awesome. I don't know why they played Aaron Jones.
Was that a question? Did I lose you?
I think they played Aaron Jones. I think they played Aaron Jones.
Timmy?
Because then you made the Rams defensive game plan. Defensively.
Hello? J-Mo?
Hey, I think fake J-Mo's on Valium today.
Hey, Horvat, this is not the guy we were just talking to. There's two guys that sound alike.
We do, but we're like completely different people, trust me.
This is J-Mo. Timmy, you still there?
Yes. Timmy, you on Valium today? Timmy? You're very relaxed.
LaFleur loved beating McVay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hey, Bart.
Yeah.
What does this win do for the stock sale?
Keeps it going. What do you mean?
Well, do you think now they'll be able to finish up the south end zone and then build, let's put up a few statues? How about that?
No, I don't know if you guys know this, but I have breaking news about what the stock sale is going to buy. It's actually going to build a Lambeau Field, like a knockoff version of Lambeau Field. So when you go to Lambeau Field, you're going to see Lambeau. And then what it's going to do is, if you're old, over 70, you're going to be told to enter at the Fleet Farm gate. And then they're actually going to take you through a tunnel, and they're going to put you in a different stadium. You'll think you're in the real thing because you're old. You won't know. So you're not going to let old people in the real Lambeau Field, because we're tired of people sitting down and telling people to sit down. So it's going to make a fake Lambeau Field just for the old people.
So nobody over the age of 51?
I kind of think 70 is the new 50. So let's say 80. If you're still 80 and above and going to Lambeau Field, you need to call your kids and ask them why they don't love you anymore.
I'd say the cutoff age is the age where you still think like a woman is hot. Like, how old is Heather Locklear? She's still extremely hot.
She's 117.
So she's still allowed, in my opinion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the cutout, like I was watching Pat Benatar on CBS Sunday Morning.
Did she hit you with her best shot?
No, she fired away. Is Timmy still on the line?
Yeah, he's too whacked out on Valium.
Okay, hold on, J-Mo. Timmy, you got any other thoughts?
Yeah.
Hit me.
How much do you think LeFleur loves beating McVay?
I think he likes beating all these guys.
No, McVay is his friend.
Well, yeah, he probably likes that, but I think he likes beating Shanahan more because I think they had a falling out, don't you, Horvath?
Yeah, they did because of the Aaron Rodgers thing. That's what, like, Mike LaFleur was involved with it during draft night. They were like, hey, what do you need Trey Lance for? You already got your quarterback. I guess Mike LaFleur said that to Shanahan. Shanahan was like, yo, tell your brother to call me. And Mike was like, yeah, he's not going to call you anymore. And I guess they used to be really good friends. Now, not so much anymore. LaFleur's pissed. They tried to steal Rodgers away.
Yeah, Timmy, thank you for the call, as always. I still have J-Mo here. J-Mo, Chad tweets at the show. He says, Toby needs to screen these callers better. Half of these loser callers sound either drunk, high, or effed up.
Well, I'm all three.
Yeah.
But I think Timmy got a hold of some of Notebook Mike's gummies.
Yeah, there's some gummies going around today.
Those gummies are super powerful, obviously.
You guys are all about the gummies today.
I need to get the boulder. That's what I need to do.
All right, J-Mo, thanks, buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
All right, you too. So the reviews are in. People hate the callers.
What the hell have you guys done with my show?
Well, Timmy and J-Mo sounded like... Toby's screening just fine. Toby's directive is everybody gets on.
Toby, you better sleep with one eye open. If Program Guy is listening right now and he's in, you're going straight to the...
Yeah, I'll have to do a better job. Not really, but I'll say I'll do a better job.
Bart, are those like your friends? What was that? I was like in the zone. I was getting into like schemes. Toby's at firing away great questions, and then all of a sudden we're talking Valium. That was like the Eminem album. You know why Dre's albums are selling? He's rapping about big screen TVs, blunts, women. You know, well, you know the thing.
Well, I gotta be honest. I'm a little inspired by Paul McCartney because I was watching this thing about the Beatles. You see this clip that's going around?
Don't spoil it, because are you talking about the Disney Plus thing? We were gonna watch that as a family. Actually, we really like the Beatles in my house.
Yeah, well, me too. I was just gonna talk about one part when.
That's fine.
When Paul McCartney, he was sitting around with the guys, you know, the Beatles, and he's just like messing around on the guitar. And he, like, stumbles into Get Back. He, like, stumbles into this song. So all like, greatness comes with stumbling around. And sometimes I think it's okay to stumble around a little bit and see if you discover greatness. We stumbled around there. That song's not going to go on the album. But maybe if we stumble around some more, another song will.
No, I get that, man. Like, you know, I really do. It's kind of like when artists try, like, new things. But my thing is, like, if you have something and it's working, like, don't go away from it. Like, Kanye should have never went away from just being, like, the dude with the backpack. Instead, you know, he went into like the love lockdown mode, and then he made the gospel stuff. It, you know, a better example probably would be Lil Wayne, who, in my opinion, is one of the greatest lyricists ever, one of the greatest rappers. Then he tried to do the punk album, Rebirth, just wasn't his thing. You know what I mean? Like, you are the Bart Winkler. Like, you know who the – you play the hits every single morning. We got John and Franklin. We got Mike the Painter. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes maybe he's – the paint's getting to him a little bit, the fumes. But I saw he was at the game yesterday having a great time. We got Tony in Texas. Now
– all called in today, yeah. They all called.
I actually really love Jameson, too. Like, I used to talk with him all the time. He's from Texas, correct?
Who?
J-Mo, I'm confused at what's going on your show.
Here, let me mess around with Steve a little bit. Steve, let's try a song with you, Steve in Brooksville.
Let's start the show.
What's
How
up,
you doing
Steve?
There, guys?
What's up?
Well, I'm going to help you out with something, all right? Because all this Kool-Aid drinking Packer talk is just killing me.
Uh-oh.
You beat L.A. Okay. I can't believe McVay did some bad calling in that game. But don't talk so great about LaFleur. He made a couple calls, too. He hasn't won nothing. In a regular season. He's a regular season great coach in the long line of Packer coaches in the regular season. They say that this is the weekend when the playoffs start, or this is when the playoff run begins. Green Bay, good start.
If you feel this way after a win, how do you feel after a loss, Steve?
Well, you know what, though? It's no difference. I mean, I understand you're in Packer land. You're going to hear all the plus and minuses. I'm telling you right now. Mark this down. When it comes to the playoffs, Green Bay will get there because they're in a weak-ass division to begin with. Let's just see what they do when the playoffs start, and do they lose out in the first round or the second round, or where's the excuse going to come if they get home field advantage?
Well, what do you want us to do?
They went 4-0 against the best division.
Yeah, we already swept the NFC West.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? What's that called again? The regular season. Green Bay is always a great regular season team. I don't care if you beat everybody.
So what are we supposed to do? We're just supposed to sit here until January? What are we supposed to say?
Come on. You could write on a piece of paper next year who's going to be in the playoffs. It very rarely changes for a while. You'll find that out when you lose. What's his name? Who's your great quarterback? Rodgers?
Yeah.
Well, Jordan Love.
When he starts holding you up for hostage next year, when you should move him for 3 first-round picks, because I know I would. You'll see how good LeFay coaches when he doesn't have Rodgers. Let's see where they stand then.
All right, Steve.
Don't
you think you got to be fair about it?
I don't think we've been anything but fair.
Well, what have the Packers done in the playoffs? What are we gonna hear from Channel 1250 in Milwaukee about what have we done in the playoffs?
So what would you like us to do with today's show?
Well, let's just say this. I wonder what they'd be talking about if Green Bay didn't cover that, 4th-and-1 in the first quarter? They got the play. It worked. If it backfires, then you can trash talk that way. But that's a very gutsy call, to be honest.
So the Packers won, but let's talk about what would happen if the Packers lost?
Well, isn't that what you'd be saying about if the Packers lost yesterday?
But they won, though. They made the plays.
My whole point is they're a great regular season team. They always have been. It's a weak division. It's almost gimme.
I can't talk about the playoffs. It's not the playoffs yet.
It's going to be pretty soon. And you know what? I hope that L.A. gets a chance to play Green Bay again. It'll still be in Green Bay, I feel. But you know what? It's tough to beat a team twice and not to throw the cup until almost the second quarter. That surprised me. That's some bad play calling on McVay, too. Also, he did some crazy-ass play calling. And that time clock issue, you're right on. That's exactly it. But they were down a couple scores. They had to get some points. So it's a horse of peace on that, you know. But I just think that you're not giving – you're talking about Ellie being so bad. Well, they've only had Beckham for 2 weeks. They've lost probably one of the top 5 wide receivers, Woods. They don't have Cam Akers from the beginning of the year. You might see Cam Akers in the playoffs, but I want to see what Green Bay.
All right,
Green Bay
okay. All right.
I've never been less afraid of anything in my life than Cam Akers.
Yeah, Cam Akers.
Okay, I'm afraid of Sue. I'm afraid of Tom Brady, even. I'm afraid of Scotty Miller. But I'm sorry, but Cam Akers coming off a knee injury in the playoffs is not. I am not afraid of the Rams. If this backfires on me, then so be it. Right, I'm afraid of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I got to take a quick break. Will you stay?
I have to sit through more. I just sat. Okay, yes. If the only callers are allowed, Tony from Texas, John,
right,
and
no more callers.
And Ram on the north side.
This is our. Somebody tweeted us. Steve must be a Dallas or Minnesota fan. Horvat responded, "Steve sucks. I've been watching Curb while Wings thinks lets him ramble."
Well, he just kept calling. I love you. He called Matt LaFleur LeChoke. Look, there's two people you don't offend. All right, Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers.
You want to talk about LeChoke? How about LeBron flexing over the 4-16 Pistons?
I'm so mad about that. I bet on them last night, dude. It was like my late night, as our old buddy would call it, our late night chaser. And they were 9.5-point favorites. I was like, ooh, revenge game. You know, LeBron was getting punked out by the entire city of Detroit. He's going to go out and just dominate tonight. They stink. That team stinks, dude. They do. And you know why? Anthony Davis, I'll say this. Here's a hot take for you. Anthony Davis is a bum.
Hey,
remember when people were trying to tell us that
not a hot take here. Toby knows I've been grinding on Anthony Davis all season.
Oh, yeah.
Chicago, dude sucks.
Chicago does not claim him because, like, he is not, like, he is way too soft. Anthony Davis averages – is there a dude on the floor before – I know you got to get to a break. Is there anybody in NBA history that dives on the ground or falls unnecessarily more than Anthony Davis in
you
the
know
history
what, Anthony,
of the league?
Anthony Davis needs to shut his mouth about the Packers, too. If we wanted to claim you, we'd claim you.
Oh, actually, hold on. I forgot he's a Packer.
Man. Yeah, he's like, we had to get out of overtime so I could watch the Packers.
You know what? Maybe he just needs a change of scenery. Let's bring him to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
All right. He could back up Boogie. Yeah. All right. We're good.
Yeah, back up Boogie. All right.
I want to talk about that before.
Yeah, we can. I just got to play one ad.
All right. Play the damn thing. Let's go.
Okay. And this portion of the show brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer. Festivals, football, the great outdoors. Some say this is the best time of the year. It may also be a great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19, brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer. They let me read vaccination ads, so don't get mad at me.
Get vaccinated.
All the ad said was, it's a great time to consider getting it. So I'm not preaching.
I mean, really.
I'm not preaching nothing. I'm not preaching.
The holidays are here. Everybody wants to be around their friends, family. We're going to do what we do is get vaccinated so that you don't get sick. Why get sick? It's stupid. Get sick during – what, you want to get sick during the NFL playoffs? I don't. Not be able to taste or smell food for a month while the Packers are about to win a Super Bowl? Sounds brutal. I'm going to be – I'm a little – I wish this new variant – I'm not going to COVID talk here or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Yeah, same with the
variant. Held up for a couple weeks because now I'm going to Lambeau Field right before my kid had surgery and my wife is like Googling it nonstop and I'm like, it's literally the same. It's just – It's never going away. I remember in June, I was like high-fiving people in bars, maskless, like hugging them. I was vaccinated. Now we're just back to this nonsense again. Anyway, go back, go.
What is happening online is very interesting. There is almost a revolution against the callers led by Ryan Horvat.
Yeah. Wait. No. This is not true. Well, no. Just the Steve guy.
Yeah, Steve.
Steve couldn't be real. I have a feeling that Steve was a plant. Like, I've been in the game long enough to know a plant. Because this guy calls in, right? Here's what gave away Steve's shtick, right? He calls in, he says, who's your quarter? Like, okay, so the guy lives in Wisconsin, I'm guessing? Or he's just what? Like, traveling the world, and he's got the Odyssey app pulled up. Mm-hmm. He's waiting for 8 p.m. Eastern because he knows BetMGM tonight is fresh tonight with Ryan Horvat, Quentin Mayo, and Trista Crick. Horvat's coming off another
Odyssey station. I have some breaking news for you on your favorite head coach, or former favorite head coach.
Lincoln Riley?
No, Mike McCarthy.
Oh, does he have COVID?
He does.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Yep. He tested positive, according to Adam Schefter and Diana.
Don't you mean he tested positive?
Positive.
Now's not the time.
No.
All right, so McCarthy's got COVID?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. I'm wishing the big guy well. That sucks as we sit here and get vaccinated. Brutal. Well, I hope that he is okay.
Yeah, he's going to need He's going to need the vaccine.
I think he's probably been vaccinated.
Anyway, he won't always need the vaccine, but he needs the vaccine right now.
What I found is our family needs this, you know. I don't know why this question. Sorry. We need to do this. We need football right now. We won't need it forever, but we need it right now.
Schefter is reporting that there are up to 8 positives in the Dallas organization.
Well, they play on Thursday. People forget against the Saints.
Oh, yeah, they are the Thursday night game this week. Well, that's not good. Yeah. I feel like, well, the league said, too, with Thanksgiving and whatnot, that they were going to be cracking down here on the protocols the next couple weeks. So hopefully this doesn't get messy, because I'm enjoying the season, seeing as our team is the best team in the NFL and only going to get better. As I saw pictures yesterday, Zadarius was at the game yesterday. He was standing right next to LaFleur. He was hyping up the crowd. Jair was there. Like, let's go.
You know, did you watch
that? I hate to make the tough transition of our former head coach has COVID, and I'm wishing him well to God. I'm excited to get our 2 All-Pros back. But you know what I'm saying?
Speaking of guys standing next to it, like, Dez Bryant was all over Mike Riley during that game.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that his name? What the hell is that guy's name?
Mike Riley.
Yeah, who
Mike
am I thinking?
Mike Riley is this, like, police officer that also used to, like, play football with us in the neighborhood. And we always got a kick out of it, because if you'd, like, ran a crossing route on him, even though he was 40, he would drill you like he was Steve Vladimir.
No. What's that guy's name? Come on.
Mike Riley.
Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy.
Mike Gundy. There you go. Mike Gundy. Yeah. Mike Riley. I was like.
I combined the Oklahoma coaches. Former Oklahoma coach.
Mike.
Dude, Oklahoma could still get into the college football playoff, though. if everyone loses.
I don't think that's going to be the case. I think what's going to happen is what I'm rooting for is just like Matt. Well, you know what I'm rooting for.
They can't screw Cincy at this point, right?
No, they can't. Well, unless Cincy loses to Houston.
Yeah, but you're not putting in the Irish over Cincy. Cincy beat him at home.
Yeah, beat the hell out of them. No, I wouldn't do that, but I am kind of hoping that both get in. I kind of want to see. I said last year, I never want to see Notre Dame in the college football playoff ever again, or Oklahoma. But this year has been so bad, and I just feel like Georgia's going to dominate anyway. But now I kind of do just want to see one more game of Notre Dame. And I've become a big Jack Cohen fan. Who would have thunk? You know, I was a big Mertz guy. I thought Mertz was, like, going to be the next big thing, 5-star recruit. Mertz is no good. Who would have thunk that Jack Cohn would have been the better option, and that he has a double-digit win team? And, I mean, the Badgers were solid, except for last week, of course, when I bet on them. But were solid all, you know, the second half of the season, because they could run the ball. But Mertz – and, you know, I saw people were still defending Mertz and like, ah, Paul Chris sucks, and it's the play calling. I don't know, man. Mertz doesn't seem like he can make the throws. Mertz, I love the confidence of him. Again, like, he's like Kevin King, you know. Like, I think Mertz looks in the mirror and sees John Elway. But when I see Mertz play, I see, like, I don't know, Jake Christensen, former Iowa quarterback. You probably don't remember that name, right?
I think
he wasn't good. He wasn't good, Bart. Like, he wasn't good. He wasn't good at all. He was benched because he couldn't make the throws. And that's, you know, do you still believe in Mertz? Do you think that next year he could be what we thought he was? Remember when we were joking that he could be like a Heisman and he threw 5 touchdown passes against Illinois and then has never looked the same ever?
I don't know that I believe in Christ.
No, I don't think he's very good.
That game was such a – I mean, that's the kind of game that you rethink everything. I mean, what is he doing punting at the 35? Why? Chris loves to punt. It's not just this game this weekend. Chris, if there's an opportunity to punt, he loves to punt in plus territory. He always does it.
No, I mean, you know what? He's not even the best. I mean, let's be honest. Like, he's not even the best coach on his own staff. that's Jim Leonard. I mean, that's why the Packers wanted Jim Leonard. I think
the
I know he's running the defense, but I'd like to see just Jim Leonard as head coach. You know, I'm not trying to rag on Mertz. You can tell when somebody has it when they don't have it. Like, you know, he's not going to be like when Joe Burrow, the year before Joe Burrow really became Joe Burrow, LSU won double digit games and he was awesome in the bowl game. You know, he was a projected 5th round pick still. Then the next year he was awesome in a new offense. But you saw it. With Mertz, He doesn't look very doesn't look good.
Okay, I hope you're okay. I do want to mention Boogie Cousins because I don't. People are like, "Ah, well, he's not going to do anything." I don't care what he does.
COVID.
The Bucks have Boogie Cousins. I've wanted this forever.
Right.
I don't care if he's washed or not.
No, I mean he's coming over. He's going to give you some minutes. Actually, I have to take a drink. I'm sorry. I started.
Do you need to go? I can. Okay. I can wrap it up with you if you're dying.
No. I got to talk about this. What happened there was I was taking that first sip of the fresh batch of coffee in the morning, and it hit me right in the esophagus, I believe. The back of the throat got me. Anyway, Boogie Cousins, I love it, man, because, I mean, you know, everybody was like, you need some dogs, and you brought back Bobby Portis, and you lost P.J. Tucker. Now, I don't think Boogie's going to give you the production that P.J. Tucker gave you last year, especially in the playoffs. In fact, I know he's not. If he gives you 8 to 10 minutes, that's cool. I'm a little worried about Brooke, though, like maybe that he had a setback. But with Cousins, I feel like, you know, 8 to 10 minutes off the bench, toughness, hard foul. Like, that's the kind of guy you want. You know, you're going against KD, goes to the rack, goes to the cup, and he'll use a hard foul on him, trash talk him, talk stuff about his mother and his girl, get in his head. Like, that's the kind of guy that Boogie Cousins is. And I love that with somebody like Giannis, because I feel like when Giannis is around, like, when him and Thanasis are, like, around, like, fellow, like, gritty dogs, you know what I mean? Like, that's why, like, them and Bobby and PJ got along, because, like, you know, that's how Giannis is, man. Like, he's a dog, and he's a killer, and that's what they need. Like, I love Middleton and those guys, but, you know, they're nice guys. Like, you know, you need a Boogie Cousins to pair with Giannis, because then that fires him up even more. So if I had to make a bet today on who's going to win the NBA Finals, it would, again, be the Milwaukee Bucks.
It's got to be the Bucks. It's the Bucks. The Nets aren't winning it.
No, I mean, well,
the Lakers. Lakers suck.
If Kyrie comes back, the Nets and the Bucks are the favorites. And I kind of give the slight edge to the Nets. And I hate to say it, just, I mean, with Kyrie on the floor, I mean, come on, we saw those first couple games. And I know that the Bucks didn't show up for the first two games of any playoff series for some reason, really. But still, if Kyrie is back and they, like, welcome him back and he's healthy, I think that they're the team to beat. Lakers do not concern me at all. The Warriors concern me the more. I mean, the Warriors are the scariest team.
I told you, Bucks over Warriors in six was my prediction. And it was not. Just because of my family ties.
And the Warriors are the best team in the league right now, and they only get better because Klay Thompson has finally been cleared for contact. He's going to be playing with the G League. So I'm rooting for that finals, man. I know you have a brother, I've been told, that works for the Warriors, and I love Klay Thompson. We haven't watched him play basketball in 2 years, so can't wait for that around Christmas time.
I'm going to end the show with a rebuttal. Notebook Mike is calling in with his 30-second rebuttal.
Okay.
Yes, Notebook Mike.
Starts now?
Yep, starting now.
You know, you two guys, every day, that's what I turn it on. I don't understand these callers. I brought this up many times.
20 seconds.
We're a family here, okay?
Yeah.
Most of these calls are from out of state. I think they just try and get a rise out. Give your take, and don't worry about other people's takes.
10 seconds.
We got a good thing going here. This is the best show on the radio. I listen all day.
Yeah, and you were on Jody Mack this weekend.
Jamie Mack.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, bye.
All right, see? And that's how the rebuttal works. I invented that in radio. You don't see Barrett writing about me.
He should be, though. You really, that grinds your gears?
No.
Hey, can you hit me? I got some. Hold on really quick before you let me go. Can I hit you with some breaking news?
Yeah. Did you know that breaking news on the Fan is powered by Odyssey.com, where you work, and presented by BetQL? Become a better sports better. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Horvat.
Okay. Breaking news on the Fan. Sorry, Toby, to steal your steam. I haven't got to do this in a while. Let's see if I still got it. This comes from Scott Grodzki. I'll credit him because he's actually the only reporter in the Wisconsin area that I like, other than Kevin Holden. Love Holden. And of course, Drew gets me ready, even though different weather still. I stream him every morning. Scott Grodzki from CBS 58 says the Bucks are sending Jordan Wara. Hold on. I don't know either of these guys. Georgios and Sandro to the Wisconsin Herd for tonight's game. So Jordan Wara will be
on
the Herd tonight.
News.
So
if any,
he made
So if anybody's making the trip tonight to Oshkosh, go check out Jordan Wara and maybe get an autograph or something.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, how is that not news?
Do you mean Georgios Kalitzakis?
Yeah, Kalitzakis.
Mamu Kalishvili?
Mamu Kalishvili.
Oh, my friend was telling me that it was actually... Wait, are either guys even Hall of Famers? Because, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, they never even played in the States before.
Is Giannis a Hall of Famer? All he does is dunk.
Is David Ortiz a Hall of Famer? I mean, all he really did was hit, you know? I mean, come on now.
Yeah, when you think about it. All right, buddy. I'm going to let you.
Well, yeah, I'll just F off. All right, you guys have a great week. Go Pack, go. Hey, who do we... Oh, yeah, we got the bye next week. All right, so I'll talk with you later.
Well, I'll talk Friday. Got to do picks.
Oh, yeah, picks. See ya.
All right, see ya. Ryan Horvath joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, a proud sponsor of our Toy Drive, which is continuing this week. Got more stuff planned for you. Thank you to those that have donated throughout the morning. Oh, God. Tony, you've got actually 15 seconds.
Hey, Bart, if we're a family like Notebook Mike said, we're like Aaron Rodgers' family. So, Notebook Mike, we are a dysfunctional family, my friend.
All right, I want to talk more about this family theme tomorrow, if we can.
All right, Tony, go pack.
All right, we are a family at odds with each other over this Thanksgiving weekend. We can all agree on the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Donations continue. 1250 AM, thefan.com. Big show up next.